What's going on, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. We have a really dope show in store for you today. I have James Lott Jr., one of my mentors, hosting the show and interviewing me, so I get to be on the other side of the show. Thank you to all the people that have subscribed to the Patreon this year. Man, I really appreciate y'all so much. You don't know how much that helps. And if you would like to subscribe, go to www.theartoflettinggopodcast.com and you can sign up for our Patreon there. Yeah, started letting go. It's 5 years and I'm still alive. I'm moving through these episodes, get that runners high. Some of y'all wonder why I still ain't made it. These companies are sedated, they sleeping on the show, but let them know that we ain't waiting. Building my business up just so I can stand on it. Ain't stressing no corporate cosign cause I'm the man, homie. Are you still tuned in to letting go? Has my journey gave you the tools just to help you grow? But now I need your help, I do this shit myself. So any support received, I appreciate it. 185 in 5 years, I'm out to park. Pause the show so these late bloomers could catch what you already know. It's the art of letting go.
It is the 5th anniversary of the Art of Letting Go podcast. And I'm James Lott Jr., not Mike Brown. But Mike Brown is here, of course. And Mike Brown, hello there. Hello, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that, James. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Well, it's not about me, because usually it is, but today it's not about me. I'm on the Mike Brown's podcast with The Art of Letting Go, and it's 5 years of doing something that a lot of us, some of us do and some of us don't do, but he had a vision, he had a plan, and he stuck with it. There are many of you at home who may watch this or hear this and think, should I start a podcast? Should I do it? Well, he's an example of, sure, why not? If you have an idea, you got a plan, do it. Get it out there. You never know whose voice needs to hear you, and especially, and he knows this about me, I'm blackity black. If you're a person of color, if you're a black person, they need to hear your voice no matter what it is, and I think you need it, and it's very important. I say we can't and we don't have the luxury of not sharing our voices. That's what you've done over the last 5 years, and I've been on several of his shows over time. I meant to write down which episode I was on. Didn't do that, but
I do remember a couple of them. I don't remember the numbers, but I do remember we did one about you ask me how do I show that I'm both black and gay in my art, and it's so funny because back then I wasn't, and I feel like now and I would love to share some of this music with you that I've been creating, but yeah, I'm very open about just myself in my music now. So
very good. Well, yeah, first of all, I appreciate that. Well, I want to tell people, first of all, I've been thinking, well, who's this dude? So my name is James Lott Jr. and I am a Renaissance man. I guess that's the right way to put it, right? I have so many hyphens and slashes. I'm like basically just holy. Basically, at this point, I'm helping with my skin glue. It's like MacGyver here, just hit my skin glue. I've known Mike Brown for years at this point. We're friends. And so we talk off camera and off mic, we have other things, but we have collaborated together also. He stars in one of my audio dramas, Fairview Heights, which I'm very proud of the work we do on that show. Fairview Heights, you can find anywhere where you find podcasts. It's really good. I think I should check it out. He's really good in it, the lead in that. And so that's how we know. We did a song together called Move. One of my soundtracks. So we're intertwined, but we're also friends. Been friends for years. So just so you say, like, who's he? But you follow me everywhere. You just Google me, folks, and you'll find me everywhere. But this is about Mike Brown. So Mike Brown, my first question to you is, have you learned the art of letting go?
I think every day I'm still learning how to let go. You know, I have post-it notes posted all around my house that say, don't take things personal. Because that is by far my biggest challenge, and it's been my whole life. But I really have, because I know what I give to people and to the world in general, that when I get something back that doesn't feel like me, I do have a hard time not taking it personal.
Well, sensitive.
That's fine. I really am. You know what? My friends will tell you that.
I was saying nothing wrong being sensitive. I was just going to say there's nothing wrong being sensitive, folks. They say it's like it's a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It means that he feels. So that's something we want to be feeling, caring people. We do. I cry all the time and stuff. So trust me, I'm a 6 foot pound, 300 pound big baby. I cry all the time. But you have to release it. But when you came with this title, I want to know for folks who have not done this. You know, it's gonna be a crazy show, Mike. It's gonna be crazy. You know, this is me on here. When you came with the title, The Art of Letting Go, it's like it's a title of a show, but also almost a directive, like how you're trying to, when you talk about what you're trying to do each show. So was that how you came up with the show idea and title? Was you wanted to learn how to let go?
No, honestly, I was in therapy prior to starting the show, and I was letting go a lot of stuff in therapy. So because around that time I had a job, and I'm looking at cycles, which is so crazy. I quit my job before even starting this podcast. And I think I was working for, it might have been Starbucks. It might have been Starbucks. I was going to therapy. It got too expensive and I couldn't afford it anymore. So I ended up starting a podcast. I was like, well, I'm letting go of stuff and I'm learning how to like express myself through communication and stuff like that. So that led me to the podcast.
So 5 years ago, let's go back for a second and where you were. One is you say basically you're working at Starbucks, I guess, or working at a job there. Were you in a relationship?
I had just gotten out of a relationship. I was in my first relationship for 5 years, and it was literally months after coming out. So, you know, I never really, at that time, I didn't really take the time to experience like being the young, gay, free, you know, person that I got to experience post being in a relationship. But I felt that relationship ending before I even started this podcast. So when I was going to therapy, I was trying to, like, if I'm being completely honest, and sorry if he listens, because he did hit me up about something he heard on the podcast once and told me, fuck you.
Your truth, you tell your truth. So fuck you. I was like, you tell your truth, right. Shit.
But yeah, I was trying to get out of that relationship, and therapy really helped me express myself and hear myself say things out loud that just didn't feel good. It was just like, I couldn't do it anymore.
But it's something, let's seriously talk that for a second. This is a podcast about life and a lot of times about your journey. So that ex or your parents or your friends or a cousin down the street or whatever, what does that, I mean, how have you learned not to censor yourself if the conversation's really good and you do want to express and share something? That is something, I guess, that you don't have to think about when we're on these shows. Well, if you mention somebody else, what they think if they listen.
You know, it's so funny, in the beginning, I didn't care. But as I've grown to do this more, not that I censor myself, but I'm very conscious of some of the things that I say because I just don't want to hurt people, because essentially this is about my life. And I don't want, you know, my experiences to trigger anything in their experiences. So, not even with like, and it's more so with the people that I really truly care about, like, especially like with family and close friends. Like I would never, you know, put something out that I feel like would be hurtful, you know? And a lot of times before I do share something, I do the work behind it. Like in the beginning, I used to just get on here and just share everything and not care about who was listening, who wasn't. And now that I'm more conscious of that, I do take the time to really do some work before I bring it to the podcast.
That's thoughtful. Very thoughtful. Okay, so 5 years ago, I chill to the same devil, so my bike and whatever. But you are, so 5 years ago, out of relationship, basically kind of working at Starbucks or kind of whatever, just kind of floundering around a little bit. Were you still playing basketball still too at the time?
I was playing basketball.
I remember that. You were playing basketball too, right? You're doing that on a gay league, right? It was a gay league, correct?
Yes, and still playing in it. You know, I left for a little while and I just got back in this season. And it's been fun.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing something else recently. I thought you were doing some other thing recently.
I was walking in balls.
Yeah.
Summertime. Yep. You know, I'm always doing something. I'm always trying something because when I do these activities, they kind of show me a different side of myself than I get to see just in my day to day. So like when I'm walking in balls, I'm feeling those spaces of discomfort and finding my comfort within that. Or when I'm playing basketball and I'm feeling that fear, you know, finding my way out of that fear, and kind of like yoga, bringing all of that stuff to my real life, you know?
Wait, we got a friend. I won't say his name. I want to, but I saw a piece of picture recently. And I was like, who's that? Yeah, his body was popping out. I was just like, that's our buddy. And I'm like, he knows I love him. And he's like, he knows I'm talking about him. But I was like, where'd that come from? Oh, and I remember him having that before. I was like, okay, that yoga. I said, yoga does that? Shit, okay. I had no idea at all. Woo. But full disclosure, folks, if we're going to share shit. Mike and I met on an app.
We did.
So I thought we saw his picture. We talked online, whatever. We're on a date. But we found out our date, it was a great date. We actually found we had a lot in common and actually got along as friends.
You know what I remember you telling me? When I told you I had a podcast, you told me, you were like, I want to bring you on my show, but if I work with you, I can't date you.
Yep, I said that. Yep.
I was like, okay.
And I stand by that. I don't shit where I eat. We don't do that. Yeah. We don't. I keep it separate. I don't do that. Yeah. But I remember it was a great, and see that, and that's the thing, folks. And see, also because I wasn't around a lot of gay black people either. Seeing another gay black person, you know, that's what I'm into. I would see him. It was like, I saw him. I saw you. And I was like, I actually really like him as this person who's a creative, and we had a lot in common. And I said, I want to be on my show. I said, I want to be on my show. And I did bring him on my show, actually. I did bring him on.
Yeah.
Back in the CD, my award-winning show, Breaking Into You. Yes. But no, but it was like, but it's, it, that's the lesson also is that you can go on these apps sometimes. You can make friendships or have something that's lasted actually probably longer than we could have been together probably. Who knows? I mean, you know, we could have.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And, you know, it's cool that we were able to meet that way. But honestly, it's hard to navigate in that space. You are probably one of the rare connections
Same here.
I was able to make in that space like that, you know?
Same here. No, I made a couple, but same here. Not that many. Sure. A couple. I've only a couple. Sure. And I agree with you. I'm just saying that it's just, but it's one of those things that he knows this about me. I believe it's no coincidence. So there was obviously, we had to meet in that form. Look at that beautiful smile he has. Beautiful smile. Of course, I'll be attracted to that. But it was one of those things. He's super tall, you guys, which is like, it's crazy. I always forget that every time I see him. I'm like, oh my God, he's fucking tall. But there's a connection in terms of a friendship, creative connection. That you and I have always had, no matter when we see each other, it could be a whole year go by, whatever. It usually doesn't go that long, but yeah, we come back together, it's like time never passes. And that's one of those things that I think I like about our friendship. It's just like it's easy breezy. It's not judgmental, it's not crazy. And I just want to, but we transparent. We did meet on an app. I was looking for a man. We did on an app, and you know, I found a friend. If I'm gonna spill tea, I might as well spill that too.
Right.
I might as well do that. But this is a success story. This is a success story in this area. When you were doing when you started the podcast, what back then, if you can remember, what was your hope of the podcast?
You know, when I first started it, I just wanted to have conversations with my friends because we would have these really deep conversations, and I think it's because like the climate of our friendship at that time was everybody was in therapy, you know, which was rare for a group of black men to all be in therapy, but I was in therapy. James was both a therapist and in therapy. Alpha, shout out to Alpha, was in therapy.
Alpha, oh my God, yes. Yes, yes.
So we all were in therapy, and me and James would continuously just have, like anytime James came to my house, we would have conversations, and sometimes I would just record us because I like audio, so that's what I would do. And this was before a podcast was even a thought. And I would listen back to these recordings, and sometimes we would listen to them and be like, wow, we are saying some deep shit. Or at least at that time, it felt deep. So, you know, when the opportunity came, I kept talking to them about, me and James and Alpha, about starting a podcast. And I was kind of scared to do it by myself. If I'm being completely honest, I was scared to do it by myself. And Alpha was that person that was like, hey, I'll do this with you. And what really made me start it, though, was I heard Anthony Valadez on a podcast that he did called Say No More Fam. I think that's what it was called. Or no. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Say No More Fam. And he was podcasting about how easy it was to podcast. And he was, I think he might have did it on his phone or something. And I was like, damn, he made this seem so simple. So I just went for it.
That's so funny. Let's talk about Alpha for a second, because he is part of this history. Sure. You know, he is. And I had both on my show. I met Alpha. I know Alpha also. And so for the first part, you guys were together. So what did Alpha bring to the podcast?
You know, Alpha, like we definitely bounced off each other a lot. Especially when it was just us and no guests. Like we fed off of each other. Like sometimes I would come in and just have a topic. And honestly, Alpha would ask those questions that would make me go deeper into my thoughts. Like, you know, and I felt like I pulled the same out of him. But a lot of times Alpha would ask a question, and maybe it's that therapist quality in him as well, that it would pull something out of me that would lead us somewhere else. And you know, we would always start the episodes with like, and just to be honest with you, we've never scripted anything. Even to this day, I don't work on a script. And that's me pulling the curtain back for everybody that thinks that you got to do this, do that. No, I just come in and talk. And with Alpha, we would have conversations, like 30-minute conversations before doing a podcast. And then we would jump in. And if I'm being so honest, and giving Alpha full props and full credit, honestly, he gave me confidence. You know, like if I could be so truthful about that, like I wasn't confident enough to do this by myself. So having a friend sitting there next to me that was willing to meet with me every week to do this, it was like that was really all I needed. And you know, like when I look back at it now, I don't know. You know, I think at points I used to tell myself I needed more than that. Like I needed him to match me 50-50 and stuff like that. But I think that's really all I needed at the time, if I'm being very truthful.
Now he leaves at some point, and you make a decision to go on. So what, how did that feel? How did going into making it say, okay, I'm going to go on and I'm going to be the solo host and continue the show?
It was a little fearful, and I'll be honest, like I really thought that people would stop listening because Alpha wasn't on the show. And that's my true honest feeling about that. I really thought I would lose everybody because it was just me. And I think there was a feeling of discomfort as well, because to be honest, I never had a conversation with him about continuing the show. Like, right. You know, he had a baby, he had a lot going on at the time. And for me, it was just like, I think we had missed like 2 weeks of doing it together. And I was just like, fuck it, I got to keep going, because this is what I really, truly believe in. And I just kept it rolling at that point. And, you know, I think looking back, if I could have done things differently, I think I would have, which, you know, he said that is no hard feelings. And I don't feel, you know, bad with where things have gone today, but I think I would have wanted to have a conversation with him about it before just moving on. Cause I really just was like, fuck it, I'm gonna just move on. And because it felt like my baby, you know, like he had a physical baby, and this was my baby. So I couldn't just leave my child behind, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, hindsight's 2020, obviously. Right.
Of course.
But it's one of those things that everything happens the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
We learn more and more. And hopefully, like, I think, I'm sure you've learned from it. I'm sure you've learned from it. So you now know, if you have a situation again in the future, you can do something differently.
Of course. And you know what? We talked maybe like a week or two ago, and he's starting his own podcast. And he asked me to be the first guest on the podcast. So I'm for sure going on the show. And I definitely want to bring him on this show again, you know, not as a co-host, but as a guest for sure.
Yeah. That's good. You're like, I'm no co-host now. I'm no co-host anymore.
Like, I really do enjoy doing the show by myself. I do.
Well, there's something different. There's something different about having co-hosts, because I have co-hosts on certain shows, and having a show on your, having a solo show on your own. And I was gonna, this actually leads into my question for you. What is one thing you have learned about being a host, an interviewer? Because I've done thousands of interviews over the years. I know how it is, and it's not easy as it looks, folks. It's not as easy as it looks. So I want to know a couple of things that you've learned about being a host interviewer slash interviewer.
Oh, something I've learned about being a host. I think the biggest thing I've learned is creating space for people. Because I think when I, and kind of going back to doing the show with Alpha, I felt myself talking a lot more, like doing a good chunk of the talking. And it wasn't even like for any reason, it just was just flowing that way. But when I have a guest, it gives me the opportunity to focus on that person and give them the space to be heard and felt. And, you know, I try to just create that energy and just being myself, you know, just kind of building up that conversation before. And then once we jump in, you know, warming them up to feel comfortable and confident to talk, because a lot of times people are not so confident in speaking. Like, you know, everybody else says, I don't know what to say. I don't know what we're going to talk about. And then once you start getting people to talk, it's like, okay, we already in conversation. So now it just flows.
Well, it's up to you. You're the ringleader. You're the leader. You're the top. They start from there. Yeah. Well, you're the top. I mean, like that. But anyway, you're leading. I'm like, I didn't mean to get that personal. I'm just kidding. No, just kidding, folks. But you're the person who has to herd the cats, so to speak. You're the guy who's supposed to kind of put it together and like, and lead them the way down. Like, lead them into how this is going to be. Because he's right. A lot of folks, they off camera, they're great. They're like, they can talk to you, but they're thinking on camera, suddenly it's like something different. With a mic in front of them, they feel like it's something different. We have to show them it's no difference. For the type of podcast that we do, it's like, no, this is friends talking.
And you know something that I've experienced as a host, as I'm just thinking about it now, there's something in me, and I can't even explain it. And somebody actually, one of my guests on my show explained it to me, is like, when I go into that host mode, I almost transform. It's like, you know, I find my flow and I'm like a different person in a sense, you know?
You're easy to talk to. So to me, you and I can talk forever, of course. But even in host mode, unhost mode, we can. But like, no, you're easy to talk. I think that helps. You're comfortable to talk to. And I know that feels like people say something about me. But this whole thing is that we're, you know, that's the point. It's like invite somebody into your home. You want them to be comfortable. You don't want people on edge, whether at your house or feel like, you know, awkward. You want them to feel like they can just rest and be okay. You're in a safe area. It's gonna be okay. The conversation will be fine. We'll talk about it. You can always edit out whatever you don't want in. You have to kind of like let them know it's going to be okay. And I know that's something that's, I want to ask you this kind of funny question, because we do these shows, do them all the time, and they're not perfect every time. Is there an episode or episodes that you're like, oh, you're a little embarrassed by, or just a little like, that wasn't my greatest moments? I have a few in my life. Trust me, I have a few in my life.
There's one episode that always stands out to me. I recorded with this lady once, and I will not say her name, but she reached out to me.
Episode 35.
I never released the episode. She reached out to me. She said she wanted to be
on the show. Oh, you never released it? Oh.
I never released it. But let's see. As far as like episodes that I've released, I don't know if I...
First go back into it.
Okay.
First go finish that story first. I'm like, I want to hear that. There's an episode you chose not to air. That's very... That rarely happens. That's very interesting. I'm curious. Talk about that. What episode you chose not to air.
She wanted to be on the show. She wrote this book called The Art of Letting Go. And I just
So
I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. Like this is dope. And this was during the pandemic. Yeah. And I'm doing the episode with her, and every question I ask her, she's just telling me, you gotta read the book to find out. You gotta read the book to find out. And I'm just like, this is boring. This is not fun.
Yeah.
And actually I do have another episode that I didn't and you know what's funny? The ones that I don't feel, I don't release them. And it's only been like two episodes that I haven't released. Right. And I had a episode with a friend and he got too high on the episode. Actually three. I have three episodes now I'm thinking about it. And these two episodes were with two people that ended up smoking too much weed, and it was really bad. It was really bad. And
oh my God.
I just didn't feel confident in putting those episodes out. But I will say everything else that I've released, I feel good about. Even if, and I guess because I don't really listen back to my episodes, I just
put them out there. I just that's it.
Release them into the world, and I move on. You know,
I'll tell you, I have an episode I did drunk once, and it stands out. I don't remember it. I have an episode where I wanted to punch somebody in the face, and that was really crazy. I have an episode where I gushed too much over a guest. I was so excited about them that when I hear it back, I'm like, oh my God, I just fangirled all over it, over this person. Like, it was almost, because like you said, because for example, like you said, there's a way to promote yourself. So you have a book that comes out. There's a way that you should have some points you can talk about and get them excited and go, but you want to hear the rest? Get the book. Like, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you don't give too much away, but there's like, you must have some things you can talk about. I mean, like, what the fuck the book about? That kind of thing. But I had stuff like the way, yeah, there's a few times I've had, at least a few episodes, I'm like, ooh, who's that? And I don't listen to it anymore. But I don't.
You know, the older episodes made me cringe.
That's funny. So you actually, episodes you've not put out, you don't listen back to it.
So I have listened back to some of the old ones, and they do make me cringe. Like just because I hear where I was in my life, and that's what really makes me cringe more than anything. Because I think at that time in my life, it spoke to me. But when I hear myself do an episode where I'm talking about a guy or something, and it's just like, ugh, like you actually went through that. And like, that's the episodes that make me like, ugh.
Yes, that's, as they should. You always have markers of where you come from. Yes.
Right.
I my first episode I ever did of anything ever in my entire life, I said so 900 times. I was like, so. I go, thanks, Benita. Thanks for ruining my life. Yes, I said so. I mean, I said so. I don't say so anymore. It was my first time saying it in this podcast. I don't say so. That word is out of my vocabulary. I banished it. I was like, that's it. Because those first couple episodes, I was like, ooh, James Law Jr., why isn't I telling you? Shut up. You're smart. You have degrees. You have a doctorate. Come on, James. What are the words?
I'm doing work around getting rid of and Like, I've heard myself saying it a lot more, and I'm like, man, I need to get rid of those words. They sound gross.
So what is one I know you had your father on a podcast a couple times. I know that's in there too. We'll talk about that separately actually, but I'm just curious, and unless this is the same answer, what are some of your most profound podcasts that you think back on going, you've had a lot of good ones, including myself. But I'm wondering which one, because you have some really good guests on your show, so people should check it out. But are there some that stick out with you as the host doing these podcasts?
Yeah, so honestly, the episode with me, you, and Kobe, where we talked about
that was a great one.
Black history, black queer history, that one stood out, and a lot of people reached out to me about it. I feel like both the episodes I did with Anthony were really good. And I think more so because, like, one, I'm a fan of him, but the first time around it flowed well, but the second time around, now that we've been able to build a friendship kind of like in the same way that you and I have, it just flows so smooth. I feel like every episode I do with James is just a really deep dive into just male vulnerability. I think
James Woods, you're talking about James Woods, and I'm going to interject this really quick. He has the voice of God. I mean, his voice, he doesn't even know how hot his voice is. And I'm like, come on, people. They talk about two black men talking about something profound, and James Wade says stuff. You're like, yes,
yeah,
yes, I yeah. get it. He does. Sorry. You know, I love you, James. I think I'm gonna watch and listen to this. You know, I love you. He got it. He got my vote. He got my vote.
He really does. My mom's the episode with my mom was really good. Because you know she talked about having mental issues.
Yes, and, she did.
That one was really deep. And
you had your dad on too.
I did have my dad on. I have an episode that I never released with my dad that one day I'll put it out. I think I never released it because I was a little uncomfortable with some of the language in it. I didn't want people to judge my dad off sharing experience, because we did an episode about just our connection and me being a queer man and his response and just what his experience was before, you know, finding that I was gay. Like how did he treat gay people prior to me? And I just felt like it might have, some of the language might have missed its mark, you know? Yeah. So I didn't release it, but it was a really good episode. And I think for myself, there was an episode I did, and it might have been my last episode of 2019, but I just kind of recapped my journey of dating men and even talked about being taken advantage of. And I had a lot of men and women reach out to me about it. And that episode is one that's hard to listen to. And I think my first Spotify episode, the one I did this year with my friend Byron, it was a really good episode, because we both ended up crying in the episode. So I know I gave a lot of them in that.
I know this is your 5-year anniversary. Shit, this is your show. You can give me 10 examples. No,
a lot of episodes in 5 years.
Yeah, no, I know. And I want to say this, because for me, the fact that your mother was on an episode, your father's on an episode, I don't have, my mother won't do shows with me. She's camera shy and mic shy. My father and I aren't close at all, so we don't have one. So for me to see, because I listen to your episodes with them, because you're a black man and a black queer man, we have those in common, that you had your parents on your show, I admire that very much. I'm jealous of that. I'm jealous of that. I'm envious of that in a good way, all in a great way. That you have a legacy now, that long after you're gone and they're gone, there's a piece of something there of time where Mike Brown and his parents were on a podcast together and actually talked openly about stuff. And I think that's something that I did a show with my grandson, and that's a whole for me for my life. So we did a show together, but that's the only person my family did a show with. That's a whole different, having a grandchild's a whole different thing. But parents growing up the way we did, growing up the way they did, for them to come on your podcast and be open with you, I kudos to you. I think that's something that should be admired. And that's what your podcast brought.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And as I'm listening to you, I'm like, I should probably get an episode in with my grandmother, my dad's mom, you know, because she is up in age. So that would probably be something like a good time capsule for everybody.
It is. And I my aunt, my old, cause all my grandparents, everybody died. It was like a 10-year period. Everybody just died, just dropped dead. So, but I had one aunt who was left. She was the oldest of all the kids, and she was the last one to go. How funny is that, right? Wow. My grandmother was the youngest. She was the first to go. My aunt was the last. It was like really weird. My aunt Yvette. So I went to Kansas and I recorded all these videos with her. Some told me to do it. She was in her 90s. And she was sharp as a tack and just gave me all this information. And she passed away later that year. I think it was 2016 or whatever. I'm finally ready to go through the footage. I haven't gone through the footage yet. Wow. But the pieces that I saw, I was like, good, I'm glad I did that. And my cousins were there in some of the footage. They're kids. And I got a whole dynamic in those videos. I learned a lot. So I'm like, my goal in 2023 is to start putting those together for the family and stuff. But I thought you're right. You should. If you have, I wish I had my, oh my God, where'd he go?
It's James Woods, AKA that yoga dude with Feel Free to Feel Free. It's okay to set a goal, for peace, understanding, trusting yourself, caring for yourself. being there for yourself. You can set goals for yourself. The reward is what you want it to be. Healing, love, relaxation, calm, peace. Your goal, your reward. No first place, no last place. Just you taking a breath closer and closer to your goals. Let's inhale deeply. A long, slow exhale. Breathe in because you deserve it. Breathe out because you're healing. Breathe in because you didn't know.
Wish I had my grandmother on tape somewhere. We were so close, but I didn't have it away. So yes, do it. Do it.
And you know what's funny? I wish I was able to record with my grandmother on my mom's side, just because you know, she was a very very strong force in my life. And before she passed away, I wrote down 25 questions to ask her, and she did answer all those questions for me, but I never recorded them. And when she was in the hospital, like before she passed away, I asked her for some advice, and I did record that. And she just told me, like, to find something in this world, like, create it and be proud of it. And, like, honestly, this podcast is that thing. And that, I think that's what really keeps me going in what I'm doing, because, man, like we talked about earlier, this can be hard. Like, just creating and being passionate about what you're doing, it can be challenging. But, you know, finding that joy in it and finding that passion to keep driving you to keep going. Like I said, those words ring in my head every day, and that's what keeps me, like, from not stopping this.
Entrepreneurship is one of the hardest, most rewarding things you'll ever do. And this is entrepreneurship. It is. It's both things. I've written books on it. I mean, it's like, but I'm like telling you, anybody says they want to do it, I say, sure. Just know that your life will never be the same. And it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not Monday through Friday. It's not anything you think. It literally isn't. And it's almost as individual as the individual, what your experience will be as an entrepreneur, as a podcaster, as this, that, and the other. It's very, I mean, I've been doing it for 15 years now, almost 16, almost about 50, that's like, and it's, I'm telling you, every day it's a journey. And most of the days I'm happy I'm here. Yeah. I will admit there are a few days I'm like, where's that vacation pay? Where's that sick leave? Like, where's all that? You know, why is there a check coming every Friday? You know, I do miss some of that sometimes, but then there are days like I had last week. I was saying that little thing last week where it kind of, yes, that's why I'm here. Okay, now that's why I'm here.
What keeps you going in your journey?
My race, my age, my family, my ancestry, my fans, my followers. I mean, no, seriously, all of that actually plays into why I wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Because I pray every morning. I talk to God every morning. I pray every morning, do all that. And then I get ready. But my thing is, I'm here to serve. I really feel like, and you know me, you can tell the viewers how I am. I feel like I'm here to serve, and that is my friends, that is my public, that is my family. I'm here for a reason. I found it. You know, it's hard to find. I always wonder if I'd find it, and I found it in my 50s, folks. It's never too late, right? And so even though I'm in the entertainment world, I'm also in the life coaching world, I'm in the organizing world, it doesn't matter. It's all about service. And so everything I do surrounds that. And I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. And I don't know how long my life's going to be. I have a feeling, I say this, people get mad at me, but I say this, I think I'm going to live a long time. I don't think I am. So I feel a sense of urgency. I don't know. People are like, Daniel, you'll be here, you know, 100 years old. I'm like, no, I'll probably die at 80. But my whole thing is, I feel like I'm here, but it keeps me motivated. It keeps me urgent, not rushed. It's a difference. I don't feel rushed. But it keeps me urgent enough where I go, don't be afraid to try this. Don't be afraid to do that. It keeps me urgent enough to go, you want to do it, so just do it. Because you don't know how long you will be here. I think having a brother dies affected me. As you know, my brother died 6 years ago, that affected me heavily also. Because he was a year older than me, died suddenly. So I just feel like there's just, I have to, like, for him too, just like I have to decide there's things he couldn't accomplish. For some reason, I'm still here. It keeps me going. And then someone brought this up to me on my 5-year anniversary show I did. No, it was my 6-year anniversary show I did recently. I had a guest host too, like you had come in. Flobo, our buddy Flobo Boys. Had me realize, I have 2 daughters. One of my daughters was just here. She's 35. She was just here, Sacramento. We spent the whole weekend together. Saw Willow Smith on stage. It was crazy. At the Hollywood Bowl. That's a whole other story. But I have another daughter who's pregnant. She'll be 34 in January. And I have 5 grandchildren. And for me, that's not my life. I mean, if you look at Black, queer, but like, that's not your life. But there are a lot of us out there who have families and have this kind of stuff. It's my legacy to them. It's like for them. When I go, they'll have a body of work of mine, whether it's books, music, paintings, podcasts, TV shows, interviews of their Papa Jamie. And that's what I didn't realize that until Fuller brought that out of me. I go, that's, I never thought that. Like, people have home movies, they'll have all this. So it motivates me to say, in the choices I make, if what motivates me in the guests I have on my show, I do race talks. I bring up stuff, for about women and about transgender and about the disabled community. And I fight justice in the soap world. And in this, I mean, there's things that I also like to have a lot of fun. And I laugh and I'm crazy and I cry on TV. I do everything. But that's kind of the point. That's what keeps me going. Is that it's all about being service to the people who are tuning in. Or my friends who are like, James, I need your advice on this, or what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, Mike Land about that. I'm always an ear. And I just think I go back to Black men, you know, I'm multiracial, so I would say, you know, men of color, Latino, Black, whatever you want to call it. We need people. It's my job. It's my job to assist the village. It's my job to be there for you. That's what keeps me going. And you guys keep me going. All you young dudes out there. I'm 53 years old, I was 54. I know I don't look it. No. But you guys keep me fresh also. I look to all of you and go, they're doing it. I'm still here too. I can do it too. They're doing it. And you guys inspire me also. And you're one of the ones that inspire me also.
I appreciate that. And I tell people all the time about you. I always say that both you and Anthony Valadez feel like my mentors in this, because like I said, you gave me my first opportunity to be on somebody else's show. And, you know, just throughout the years, like anytime I've had an idea, you've always pushed me to just do it, like just go for it. And I appreciate that so much. I really do.
Well, you know, and like I said, you're a talented dude, and there's whatever outlet you need to put something out there, it needs to be out there. I said, again, we need more of our voices out there to drown out the other voices that aren't so great.
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And, you know, when I listen to you, like when you talk about your motivation for doing this, like for me, like, I really just want to show people that they can do literally anything that you want to do. Like, you know, I'm not more or less special than anybody. Like, I'm just somebody that tries and is not afraid to put themselves out there. And I think my goal, like, you know, when all of this is said and done, meaning life, like, I want to leave empty. Like, I don't want to leave with no idea in my mind, no feeling left in my body. Like, I want it all to just be expressed. So that's why
I'm going to correct you and say you are special. And so is everyone else out there.
You are right. Yeah.
I'm going to correct you on that one. Right. You know, you are special. I'm special. You're special. We got to tell, especially if any black men watching this, a queer black man watching this, we got to tell them they're special. That's the point, because we're not being told that. And we're being told to apologize and down talk ourselves. Nope, we're not doing I'm not letting you do that, Mike Brown. Not in front of me. We're not going to do that shit. It's not about ego. It's not about ego, but we are special. And the thing is, we need to know that, and folks need to watch this and go, if they're special, I'm special to you, but your message that you're saying is so true. If I can do it, though, so can you do it. You can find a way. And I think it's what your overall message is, but I just want people to
And I appreciate that.
Because our friend James Woods got me crying on a show we did together. He was like, he said how beautiful I was or whatever. And I was like, we don't tell each other that enough. We just don't. And so I'm choosing my words. I'm trying to choose my words and what we put out there. And I think you and I being two black men sitting here talking on a podcast on a medium that was invented not too long ago. We didn't grow up sitting with podcasters. Now folks can grow up. They can watch us and go, I would be like what they're doing.
Yeah.
When I grew up, I would be on radio. That was why they want to be on radio. But that's the only thing. But this wasn't here. We're in jobs that were never even created until recently.
Yeah.
That's how blessed we are. You know, think about that. Like, this was the podcast. What the fuck is that? That was nothing 10 years, 15, 20 years ago. Podcasting.
You're absolutely right.
You know, so this is a great way. And so I'm going to have Mike Brown end the show because it actually is his show, 5 University. And I just want to tell him thank you. And I feel honored to have been on here to host it. I've many more years for this for you or whatever you choose to do, whatever alliteration of the show you choose to do. He also has merch, folks. So he'll tell you where to buy his merch. So don't be sleeping on his merch. You got to get his merch also. You're not a promoter. He has merch. Again, he's on my Fairview Heights, which is one of my hit podcasts, audio dramas on JLJ Media for any streaming platform service you have out there. But Mike, now you have the floor because it's your 5-year anniversary.
Oh, man. James Lott, thank you so much. James Lott Jr., because you're junior.
Don't get a junior.
But thank you so much for doing the show. As James said, we do have merch available. We have a Patreon that you guys subscribe to. You know what's so funny? My Patreon has gone up and down, but this is the highest it's ever been. I'm at 7 Patreon subscribers. I would like to get to 10 before the year ends. So if you're listening, you can sign up for the Patreon for as low as $3. $3 a year.
Do it.
$3 a month is $36 a year. I'm pretty good at math. But yeah, sign up for the Patreon. We got merch available. Please like the podcast, subscribe to it, leave a review, let people know what you think. Let me know what you think. We are always here. You know, if you go to the artoflettinggopodcast.com, everything is there. If you want to start a podcast and you really need some inspiration and motivation, I have a podcasting course available. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. All the information is out there for free. You don't need me to start it. But if you need somebody to put the battery in your back and get you going with this podcasting, sign up for that course. Take it. It's there. James Lott, can you please let the people know where they can find you?
You can find me where all James Lott Jr. is sold at James Lott Jr. on all social media platforms. I've been for 10 years. All media platforms. I am James Lott Jr. on every single social. I mean, it's so simple for you guys. You can't forget it. Everywhere. I have a YouTube channel, actual channel. I'm one of the few black men out there who has his own channel. It is JLJ Media on YouTube. I've over 50 shows. That's why we're 50 shows, running from soap operas to Star Wars to everything in between. Check that out at James Lott Jr. I'm also on Patreon too. I'm trying to get there also. I got 23, but I'm trying to 30. So if you want to join me over there, yes, over there. I put out content every single day, folks. So check this out. Follow both of us on Patreon. Support Black content creators. Please do. Also, I have a venture called buymeacoffee.com. So go to buymeacoffee.com/JamesLoudJr. It is also a podcast on there, but it's also like a tip jar for creatives. So go ahead and support me over there also. And of course, I have merch, jljmedia.threadless.com, jljmedia.threadless.com. I have books. I have music on Spotify. Anywhere else you want to go to, just type in James Loud Jr. I have 10 albums and all kinds of music. I have new Christmas songs out right now. One's called He Comes Up the Chimney. Comes Down the Chimney, and one called House of Frost. I know I'm crazy. They're out now for your listening, downloading pleasure.
James, I don't know how you keep up with everything you do.
I have no man. I have nothing going on. So I just work all the time. That's all I do. I eat and work. That's the two things I do. That's all I do.
Oh, man. James, thank you so much for coming on. Hosting the show. Thank you for hosting the show.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace. Thank y'all for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the podcast. Also, leave a review, rate it, let people know what you think. If you guys would like to support the show further, we do have a Patreon. My goal is 10 for the year. I'm at 8 right now. I would love 2 more patrons. I guess that's what we would call you guys. Or maybe we'll come up with the Letting Goers or something like that. I don't know. But please sign up for the Patreon. Also, we got merch. You know, it's the fifth year anniversary. I got merch available at theartoflettinggopodcast.com. If you would like to be a guest on the show, you can sign up there. If you got questions for us, please send them in. And if you want to learn how to podcast, or if you just need the confidence to somebody to motivate you to get your podcast done, I have a podcasting course available now, and it is on the website as well. So for all your Art of Letting Go needs, hit up theartoflettinggopodcast.com. And thank y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown. Peace.